opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
It's time for resistance. That is, it's time for the loyal opposition to rise up. That's who we are at Created Equal, by the way. You're listening to your radio activist here, Mark Harrington, and Voice of Resistance. You can go to our website at createdequal.org, and you can download the program there. You can listen to it on your mobile device at Created Equal's website. You can or Podbean or iTunes. And, of course, every Saturday, 1:30 here, over the air on WRFD in the state of Ohio, and online at SalemColumbus.com or WRFD.com. You may wonder why I use the term the resistance when we just saw the election of Donald J. Trump as president of the United States. It would seem as though that we're not the resistance. We're in the majority, a party, if you will. That's true. I guess if you're a conservative, they control all three or both branches of government in the Congress. And not branches, sorry, both houses of Congress, Senate and the House, and now the President of the United States. Republicans control two branches of government. So, you know, you might think, well, then we're really not the resistance, are we? Well, no, we are. Because I can tell you this, the progressive left, whether they win or lose elections, they're still on the march. They're still on the march. And so are abortion advocates, those who support abortion killing. They don't miss a beat, whether in or out of power. And that's why we call ourselves the resistance. Because we live in times, desperate times, that require desperate measures. And when I go across the country on college campuses and we speak and talk to young people, Christians, these young men, mostly, they want to kill dragons. They're not interested in playing church and Christianity. They want to go out and slay dragons. We give them a place to do that. Because people aren't recruited to Created Equal because they think babies are cute. That's not it. Although babies are very cute. I love babies. I had four children. I love babies. But I don't fight to protect preborn babies because they're cute. I want to slay dragons. I want to win. And so our ministry has been positioned in such a way to kind of tap into that spirit, that rebellious spirit, if you want to say, that youth spirit, but channel that rebellion in a positive, godly direction, redirecting it for good, not for evil. In other words, you see all these riots and stuff after Trump was elected? That's the rebellious spirit of the millennial youth, but it's being channeled into the wrong avenue. We want to take that same, I guess, unsettled feeling about the status quo when it comes to youth, and redirect it for good, for righteousness, for justice. And so that's what we do at Created Equal. And so what I want to do here in the first segment, we're going to be talking about the Justice Ride, which is coming up this spring. And the reason why I'm bringing it up now, we like to give people lots of opportunity to if they want to be part of it, to reserve their space on the Justice Ride bus, the charter bus that we take here from Columbus. We leave Columbus, we go to Florida, and we go to several college campuses in the state of Florida, and then we return. And the Justice Ride is a training program for youth. It's a training program for high school and college age young people. and we teach them apologetics, primarily pro-life apologetics. And then we take them out onto the street and allow them to exercise what they've learned in front of folks who disagree with them. That's the way people learn. And so that's what the Justice Riot does. It combines training, very intense apologetic training, with on the streets, hands-on experience, because people learn on the job. And so that's what we do, and we're going to be taking another Justice Riot in March. And that's why I have my good friend and outreach director at Created Equal, Ian Spencer, in the studio today. Ian, thanks for being on the Mark Harrington Show.
Thanks for having me today, Mark.
Ian's been on before. He's an alumni. He's an expert in radio activism. And so what we want to do is talk about the Justice Riot and talk about this generation and what he sees going on. It's funny, this morning we were talking about, after the Trump election, the difference maybe that you subtly, maybe just a subtle difference, you see in a high school and a college campus with young people. Explain that, because I thought it was very profound.
Yeah, well, yesterday we were at Columbus Alternative High School, and we had more people than general coming up and being very frustrated and yelling at us. And I think that they're realizing that they're starting to lose maybe a little bit of ground, as was evidenced by the Trump election or nomination, and as well as the losing the House and Senate.
So they were a little more hostile than normal.
Yeah.
Which is what we're seeing on the streets with a lot of other progressives, unfortunately. They can't stomach the idea of losing. And unfortunately, and I won't speak for the kids there at the high school, but a lot of these rioters, I mean, what would they have it another way? I mean, would they want us just to, have dictatorships that are appointed by some elite group? I mean, or do they want free elections? I guess the answer is pretty clear. They don't want free elections. So the Justice Riot, years ago, we came up with this basically patterning it after the Freedom Riots of the 1960s, not that they're exactly the same, but the idea was this spirit of companionship, of believing in something bigger than yourselves that unites people together in a common cause. That's what the Justice Riot is. It's like the Freedom Riots of the 60s, where sometimes college students quit college and join the Freedom Riots. It was a turning point in the civil rights movement, because they were willing to die. They were willing to put their lives on the line to defend the rights of others. And so we kind of capture that same spirit with the Justice Riot. We put them in a bus, charter bus, head down to Florida, and in the summer we do it more locally here in the Midwest. Explain what's your thoughts of the Justice Riot and why you think it's a good idea for young people to be involved in this.
Yeah, I went on my first Justice Riot when I was 15, and that was just an absolute amazing experience for me. I learned from Seth Dreher, our director of training, how to defend my beliefs, how to defend the preborn in conversation on college campuses while using the victims of abortion, having them there as our strongest piece of evidence. And that was really a way for me to learn how to defend my faith. It strengthened my faith and really made me take it a lot more seriously.
And you were 15. We're looking for students. 15 is probably the low end, through college to come. And these are the future leaders. I mean, these are the folks who are going to run organizations. They're going to run companies. They're going to run for office. I mean, we get the cream of the crop in the sense of commitment to the defense of freedom and liberty and life. And what I've seen in the years that we've done this, which has only been five years, some of these people have gone into leadership positions and other things and are excelling. And that's because if you do what we do, which is stand with a victim of an abortion, an image of a victim, then you're willing to take a bit of heat. So it kind of brings the best out of people, you know. It gives them courage. And we teach courage. We feel that that's what's lacking a lot in the church, that young people aren't given much to do, you know. And young people are leaving church because it's boring. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a small group leader, a Bible study leader, a prayer group leader, or leading this, that, and the other. But I think youth want to fight. They want battle. I think that's why you're in it. Am I right?
Yeah, we want naturally want something to rebel against, and I think that that's something really good to be able to rebel against and a good way to channel that.
So let's talk about the trip. It's usually around 8 or 9 days. We leave Columbus. What campus is we going to?
Yeah, we will be at Florida State University on the first day, and then our second 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, will be at the University of South Florida.
That's in Tampa.
Correct, yep. And then we'll be in Orlando at University of Central Florida on Thursday, and Friday we will be at our final campus at the University of North Florida.
So that's 1, 2, 3, was it four?
Yeah, four different campuses.
Four schools in 5 days, about 2 or 3 days of travel. By the way, the travel isn't just sitting in your seat. It's filled with training along the way in the bus as well as classroom training. In the past, we've had a theme. What is our theme this year? Do we have one?
We don't have one at this point yet.
Well, we need to have one. We usually have a theme, and we kind of center the teaching around that. A lot of it has to do, we usually draw a lot from the Civil Rights Movement. That's the closest movement to us as far as chronologically. Plus, it has lots of parallels to the pro-life movement. So we use a lot of opportunity to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., other, freedom riders themselves. We learn the stories of them. What other kind of teaching do we learn during that week?
You'll get just the basic pro-life apologetics training on how to defend the preborn using science and philosophy. We'll also learn about members of the White Rose Resistance.
What's
Nazi
that?
Germany.
What's the White Rose?
Yeah, the White Rose was a group of college students who lived in Nazi Germany in the early 1940s, and they distributed leaflets to expose what was happening through the Holocaust and to expose what was happening to the Jews.
Sophie Scholl, Hans Scholl, yeah. And what happened to them?
They ultimately died for...
They were executed,
aren't
they?
They believed, yeah.
They were executed. And they were, I think Sophie Scholl was 19 when she died?
Yeah, she was.
Those are the kind of stories of people that we highlight during the week. We pick individual folks like that. And this year it might be a different individual or individuals that we highlight. And they're usually people that had great courage. Many of them were martyred for the cause, whatever cause it was. And so that's part of the justice ride. But the main thing is to give opportunity to be trained in apologetics, but also to be – it's almost just a hands-on thing. I mean, people are very adverse to controversy in the Christian church, unfortunately. And that's something we address. Did you overcome it the first time you came?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous, especially when people disagreed with me or would say rude things. But I realized that it was important that we do what we're doing because no one else is speaking out on behalf of the preborn.
Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake," and that's what we do at the Justice Ride. If you're a parent of a young person between the ages of 15 and 23 or 24, go to our website at createdequal.org. And go to the Justice Ride, or you can go to justiceride.org, fill out an application, and your young person will never be the same if they come on the ride with us. We'll be right back.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute.
Created Equal is about changing this culture, and that's what we have to do if we are going to win this fight. And Mark and Seth and the others on the team of Created Equal are doing just that. And I am happy to endorse their work. Glad to call them fellow companions in this fight for the life of the unborn. And I certainly hope you will support and work with them as they work on reforming this culture so that it has an appreciation for human life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
I want to thank Ian Spencer, outreach director, created Equal, for coming into the program, into the studio today. The Justice Ride, March 4 through 11 in 2017, will travel from Columbus, Ohio to Florida and back in a charter bus going to four university campuses. By the way, it occurred to me, why did Donald Trump carry Florida? Couldn't have anything to do with the fact that we invest a lot of time and effort down there in the last 5 years. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it had something to do with us. But anyway, we are there a lot. And by the way, oh, he carried Ohio too. By 9 points, I submit to you. So, might have something to do with the work we do and many others. Just as a side note. So, March 4 through 11, 2017, Justice Ride, folks, if you are a parent of a young person and you want your young person to learn how to defend their faith in the public square, surrounded by experienced, mature leadership that will guide and protect as we go, then that's, you want to go to justiceride.org. Justiceride.org, get an application, fill it out. Nominal fee. Very nominal, doesn't even come close to covering the costs of the trip, the charter bus, all the meals, housing, all that, along with the visits on college campuses. They will be changed individuals. I guarantee you they will be changed. They will never be the same. Let me just say, as a parent, I can tell you this. Watching this election has been positive and negative. When I look at our young people, thankfully, my family, my young children, my older children, are solidly conservative Christians, and they also are conservative politically. They believe that the right to life issue is paramount and is a disqualifier for anyone running for public office. I think that's a position that Christians should take across the board. But there are many of the young people that used to are and used to be peers of my sons and my daughter that have gone the other direction. And I'm not just talking about politics. It's troubling to watch. I think the church has failed in teaching worldview, in teaching engagement, in teaching the importance of liberty, defending our rights, defending freedom, liberty, right to life, sanctity of human life, marriage. I think we have failed miserably. I'm seeing it happen. Our young people are rejecting a lot of the views that we had that of their parents, and that's a very problematic issue for many of us. On the other hand, there are plenty that are holding to those views, and apparently Donald Trump carried a larger percentage of millennials than either John McCain or Mitt Romney did. Now, again, it's politics. He's not a very flawed candidate, but they understood the threat of Hillary Clinton. So we are the resistance. We are the resistance. We're the loyal opposition. Dr. Russell Moore, who is the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission president, who I disagree with in some ways, but he was a never-Trumper, he said this: we switch from the moral majority to the prophetic prophetic minority. We have switched from the moral majority that happened in the 1980s and 90s to the prophetic minority. Well, that is true. Although I will say this, 81% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. And again, it's not a litmus test of whether you're a Christian or not, or evangelical or any of that. I think it just showed that they understood the threat and they voted to stop Hillary. That's all it meant. And to me, that's a good thing. See, Christians, we need to return to the days of being the moral example or vanguard to our culture. And we need to defend the belief that there is something called the sanctity of human life and marriage. And so we need to be looking like a resistance movement. And that's what we're going to be leading and have been leading for 5 years and will be leading into Washington, D.C. on January 20th and 21st. There are three characteristics of the resistance movement, and I've spoken on this before, but it deserves repeating. The first is this: we're nonviolent. I mean, it should go without saying, but as a Christian primarily, but as a believer in free speech and the rights that we have as Americans and liberty, we're nonviolent. It means we don't use violence to coerce or force or make people believe or behave in a particular way. It should go without saying, but it needs to be said, especially when we're seeing this happen across the country on the progressive left. They're not nonviolent. They believe violence is a means to an end. We don't. A nonviolent resistor obeys God, number one. If you are a resistor, if you're going to be part of a resistance movement to what's happening in this nation, you need to, first of all, obey God. Our duty is to obey Him. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 through 19 says this: we cannot, the apostles, when they were told to not speak in the name of Jesus, they said, we cannot stop speaking for what we have seen and heard. See, the apostles believed that they must obey God over men, and they will, if necessary, disobey civil authority. There is coming a time where this is going to be the case. Now, we may have gotten a little reprieve, a bit of a respite, if you will, with a Donald Trump presidency when it comes to religious liberty and freedom and our rights as individual Christians and that kind of thing to exercise our religion and express ourselves. But it doesn't mean that the other side's going to stop fighting to shut us down. So we need to obey. Number one, we need to obey God rather than men. So that's number one. Number two, a nonviolent resistor, one of those who holds to and ascribes to the loyal opposition, speaks truth to power. Speaks truth to power. That's what we do. I call it a prophetic witness. That means that we are demanding or we're standing in the public square, using our voice, making it vocal like a trumpet to the leaders of our nation. And it won't matter whether it would be a Barack Obama as president or a President Trump. Won't matter. When they're right, we'll support them. When they're wrong, we'll oppose them. And we'll make it clear, based on Scripture, what the Bible says, that they're either right or they're wrong. John the Baptist told Herod, quote, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Think about that. John the Baptist confronted Herod and said, listen, you're in sin, and it's not lawful to have your brother's wife. By the way, that's in the New Testament, not the Old. You know, it's not just in the Old Testament where you see people confronting civil authority. It's also in the New Testament. He confronted him for his adultery. He was put in prison and beheaded because he spoke truth to power. And we need to do the same. We need to do the same. We have an obligation to confront our leaders. By the way, who else is going to do that if it isn't going to be Christians? If it's not going to be that prophetic minority that Dr. Russell Moore talks about. And that's why we're going to Washington January 20 through 21 for the inauguration of Donald Trump as president and the Million Woman March. We're asking you to join us. Go to createdequal.org if you want to find out more about the trip. And finally, a nonviolent resistor is willing to sacrifice and suffer for the name of Christ. The Apostle Paul is a very good example. He paid the price. In Acts chapter 40, verse 41, it says, quote, as Paul was preaching the gospel, they flogged him, and the disciples were quoted as saying, and they went away rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Folks, we should be willing
to be persecuted for the name of Christ, standing up against the powers that be, whether it be a Donald Trump presidency or a Barack Obama presidency, it doesn't matter. And then when the persecution comes, we should consider ourselves worthy to suffer shame for his name. We'll see you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington,
your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal.
For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net,
createdequal.net.
Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders
in the culture war.